Again, just as this morning, we'd like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. This morning, we read the first 16 verses. This evening, we'd like to read verses 8 through verse 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's unto Elijah, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Again, Elijah had been sent to tell King Ahab because of the evil ways of the northern kingdom and the evil ways of Ahab, that God was going to judge the land by withholding rain and dew for a space of 3.5 years. And this 17th chapter is the record of how God sustained Elijah during this time of famine. We see Elijah, as we saw this morning, by the brook Kereth, God sending ravens morning and night with bread and flesh to feed Elijah. And in the process of the famine, we see the brook dried up. And God spoke to Elijah, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon." Again, this was the place where wicked and intolerant Jezebel was from. It's where her father, Ethbaal, was king. It was a center of wickedness, abomination. It was a center of Baal worship. Upon his arrival in this wicked and idolatrous place, he came upon a very sad and very pitiful scene. A widow woman, a single mother, who had come to the end of her resources. And the Bible tells us that she was gathering sticks, a very menial task. And Elijah says to this widow woman gathering sticks, "Fetch me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And we see that in verse 11. And it was at this point that she replied to Elijah in verse 12, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, cornmeal, in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse or in a jar. And then hear her say, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She says, I'm going to cook one last meal for myself and my son, just to starve off death for a little longer. It is a picture of desperation. It is a picture of hopelessness and helplessness. And that was her reality. That was where she lived. And I'm sure that prior to this, as the drought continued, that her and her son would use very, very sparingly the little they had, until the only thing that was left was a handful of meal and a little oil. So no doubt, as the days of drought went on, they watched the meal, the oatmeal, the cornmeal, dwindle down to a handful, and the oil dwindled down to almost nothing. And I imagine that there were times when she would go outside and walk the fields in search of food and return home with nothing. Perhaps she would occasionally go to the neighbors and see if they had any food to spare, but they're pretty much in the same situation. I imagine her going out every day, hoping to see some sign of rain. But day after day, week after week, month after month, there was no rain. And I imagine that she felt overwhelming grief and heartache and burden and anguish of soul as she watched her son dwindle down. And I imagine that there were many sleepless nights of worry. This was her reality. This is where this woman lived. Was the reality that she lived in. And now we hear her say, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil. And I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That was her reality. That was where she lived. And the limitations of your little cup of oil and handful of flour might be very, very real. And the apparent indicators that death is just around the corner might be very, very real. But know this, that has no effect upon who God is. None. Reality to her was that her paltry means were indicative of death for her and her son. But at the end of verse 15, she and he and her house did eat many days. Her reality has changed. There is now a different reality. In verse 16, we read, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. Again, a different reality. The woman, by the miraculous work of God, moved from one realm of reality to another. And that is our subject this evening, a change in the realm of reality. This morning we looked at the reality of earth and the reality of God. What we see here is a change in the realm of reality. What we have here is a beautiful type of salvation. If you turn over to Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus, teaching upon the amazing grace of God, made reference to this woman. Notice in Luke 4, verse 25 and 26, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. There were many widows. This woman was not the only one. There were many. When great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them, the many other widows, was Elias sent." Remember, God said to Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath. And there is a woman, and she will sustain thee." So God sent Elijah to this one woman, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. So of all the widows in the land, God in His grace, God in His mercy, sent Elijah to this particular woman. There were other widows who also were in desperate need during this time of drought and famine, but it was to this Gentile widow that Elijah was sent. And it would change this woman's life. God chose her to be the recipient of His blessing. Not because of any worth in her, not because of any merit in her, but entirely of grace. It was a time of drought and famine. She's in a situation that would result in certain death. Again, we read in verse 12 of our text that she was down to a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a jar. And she says to Elijah, "I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." That's all she could see. Death was a reality. You hear the tone in her voice as she speaks those words. She's in dire straits. There's helplessness, there's hopelessness, there's despair. She's facing certain doom. And in her view, she's in a situation from which there was no escape. That's her reality. Before salvation, you and I were in a similar state, far, far worse. We were in a state of bondage, in misery. We were in the chains of sin, hopelessly trapped in sin, hopelessly trapped in corruption and guilt and error and ignorance. Death hung over our heads. We were in a state of condemnation. We were alienated from God. We were estranged from God. We were at enmity with God. We were hopelessly bankrupt before God. And just like this woman, we were on a road of certain ruin. And that was reality. But just as God in His grace sent Elijah unto this poor, helpless widow with a message from God, and God caused her to hear the message, and God gave her the faith to believe and to act upon the message, so did He with us. And there were many others just like us, but God came to us, just as God sent Elijah to this woman. Just as she was brought from living death to abundant life, so it is with ourselves. This is a picture of salvation. Before this woman was saved, and I believe she was saved, I believe this is a picture. Before she was rescued and spared, she was living in a time of great famine. The famine went on for 3.5 years. We don't know how long she had been experiencing the results of the famine. But we do know that by the time Elijah arrived in Zidon, that the brook Kereth had already dried up. There had been no rain for some time. We don't know how long at this point. But the crops had either died in the fields or were dying. The livestock had either died or were dying. Everything was continuing to dry up. And many people were facing starvation, and many people had probably already died of starvation. And though God saved and rescued this woman, she would continue to live in a famine-stricken land. Though saved and rescued and spared, she would continue to live in a land of bankruptcy. She would continue to live in a place that was filled with grief and sorrow and without hope and helpless. She would continue to live in a world without rest. And though she had been saved and rescued and spared from such, she continued to live where Baal was worshipped and where people knelt at the altars of Baal, pleading for rain, begging Baal for rain. She continued to live in a world of emptiness. Though saved and rescued, she continued to live in a place filled with death. So you see, the conditions all around her continued. Though she had been spared from the famine, the conditions all around her are continuing. And they're all very, very real. But it was no longer the reality that she lived in. When Elijah came, when Elijah arrived, she lived in the reality of the famine. But she heard the message. She believed the message. She acted upon the message. And though the famine is still a reality, it's not the reality that is defining and shaping her life. So let's look at her new reality. Because her new reality is our reality. When God saved our souls, He changed our reality. Again, the world all around us is still very real. But it's not the reality that defines us. It's not the reality that shapes us. It's not the reality that determines what we are to do. We see she had the reality of instruction from God. Just as Elijah received instruction in time of famine there in verse 3 and verse 9. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Kereth. And then later in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath. And just as Elijah was instructed by God, so was this woman. In a time of great need and poverty, in a time of grief and sorrow and anguish, in a time of hopelessness and helplessness, in a time of restlessness, a time of worry, a time of stress, and confusion, a time of futility, she had instruction from God. And her instruction from God was basically the same as Elijah's instruction from God. I have something more for you. And that's basically what Elijah is telling this woman. God has something more for you. Yes, the famine is a reality, but God has something more from you. And notice verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now that would take faith. You go and do what you said, but make me something neat first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. That was her instruction. In spite of all the other realities going on, this instruction was very real. And this instruction had an impact upon her more than the reality that was going on. We read in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. That's amazing. That is the result of the work of God. No one is going to do that apart from the work of God. Why did she do it? Because she believed. She believed that Elijah was from God. She's now living in the reality of God's instruction. And we're to live in that same reality. That's what's to shape our lives. That's what's to define our lives. The instruction of God. Secondly, she had the promise of God. Elijah received promise from God in verse 4. God said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 9, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There is the reality of the promise of God. And here we have this widow woman. In a time of great need, she's in dire straits, and she has a promise from above. Notice verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. That little bit of flour that you have is enough. It's enough. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He is telling this woman, he's giving her the promise, until the famine ends, that little bit of flour, that little bit of oil, it's enough. It will sustain thee and your son and me. So, she had a promise. And she lived in the reality of that promise. You and I have many promises. Reality is all around us. But there's the reality of the promises of faithful God. And that's the reality that we are to live in. Again, all around her was the reality of famine. There was the reality of poverty. Her cupboards were bare. And I believe her cupboards continued to be bare throughout the famine. That was reality. If she go to the cupboards, they were bare. There's nothing there. There was the reality, but in the light of this, there's the reality of the promise of God. Here we are, we live in a world engulfed in spiritual famine. And that's reality. That's a reality. We all have difficulties, that's reality. We all have trials, we all have burdens, we all have problems, that's reality. We all have sorrows and heartaches, we all have pressures and temptations and clouds and storms and battles and obstacles in our lives. These are all very, very, very real. But in the midst of these realities are the promises of God. Which reality defines us? Which reality shapes our lives? Which reality do we live in? Earthly reality or the promise of God? There's no way that this widow woman or Elijah could figure out how a little bit of meal, a little bit of flour, and a little bit of oil is going to sustain them through the famine. There's no figuring it out. You don't have to figure it out. Don't tire yourself out trying to. Just believe. Just believe what God says. And that the promises of God would shape our lives. So in the midst of famine, she had the promise of God. She had the instruction of God. She had the promise of God. But she also had something unfailing and inexhaustible. Something greater than the famine. We read in verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord," which simply means "just as God said," which He spake by Elijah. And I believe this is a picture of Colossians 1 verse 9. "It pleased the Father that in Him," Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell." And in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter how real the famine is, it does not affect the fullness that is in Jesus Christ. We have an inexhaustible supply. We live in a world just as this woman. We live in a world that is a wasteland. We live in a world that is filled with devastation, a world filled with barrenness, a world filled with emptiness and desolation. But in the midst of it all, there is all fullness. And it is in a certain place. It is in Jesus Christ. And it's what we need. Everything we need is found in all fullness. What isn't in all fullness? Everything you need is in all fullness. And all the other realities has no effect upon the all fullness that God has stored up for us. This woman, no matter what was going on outside, no matter what was going on in the house, no matter what was going on in her mind, there was supply. There was supply for every season, and there still is. There is supply for every trial. There is supply for every persecution. There is supply for every sorrow. There is supply for seasons of coldness and apathy. And coldness and apathy are very real today amongst God's people. But there is another reality. And that is what we have in Jesus Christ. In all times of compromise, we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. So we, like this widow woman, though saved by the amazing grace of God, we continue to live in a world that is filled with the reality of trial, the reality of sorrow, the reality of difficulty, the reality of defilement. And the world can have, as we've said many times, a powerful draining effect upon the child of God. And if you live in the reality of the world, it will drain you dry. You won't have anything. But that's not the reality that we live in, or that we should live in. We're to live in the reality of God. I believe that every day she went to that barrel of meal. She went and took that little jar of oil. And every day, there was meal in that barrel. Every day. Every day there was oil in that jar. No matter what a day or night brought forth, she could go to that barrel, she could go to that jar, and it was no less full. What she needed was right there. And that's so with you and I today. And this became her reality. I imagine the first day that she, after they ate their meal, and the first day that she went and looked in that barrel, and there's just as much oil, just as much flour as there was the day before. And I believe as the days passed on, she came to the point where she expected that when she went to that barrel, there was flour in that barrel. Oh, I'm sure she had doubts the first time she went. Maybe the second, maybe the third, maybe the fourth. But after a while, she went there expecting to find flour and oil. And so it is with you and I. She could go, you notice there are no stipulations on how many times she could go to that barrel of meal, how many times she could pour oil from that jar. There are no stipulations. She could go several times a day. And every time, there was flour in that barrel, there was oil in that jar. She could go in the morning. She could go in the afternoon. She could go in the evening. And there would be meal. And there would be oil. No matter how often she went, there would be meal. There would be oil. No matter how much she gathered. Perhaps she gathered everything that was in the barrel. But the next time she went back, there it was. Was still there. No matter what else was going on, it was simply unfailing and inexhaustible what she had. And that is how it is with you and I. This is now the reality that she lives in. She goes to that barrel and there's meal. She goes to that jar and there's oil. No matter what's going on outside, that was her new reality. The barrel of meal and the jar of oil was always where she could get it. While she was sleeping, the Lord didn't hide it. It was always where she could get it. I believe it was always in the same place. This was now the reality that she lived in. And so it is with you and I. Everything we need is still in Christ. It's always in the same place. Always. We act sometimes as if God has moved it and hidden it. That's not so. It's always in the same place. What she needed most was in that barrel and in that jar. What she needed was not in her cupboards. They were bare. What she needed was not in the streets. The streets were filled with death. What she needed was not in the fields. They were barren. What she needed was not in the ground. It was dust. If she wanted to, she could spend all day long walking the streets, looking for what she needed. But you know what would have happened at the end of the day? She would have come home empty. She would have come home exhausted. And that's how many of God's people live. They look for what they so desperately need where they will never find it. And they come home worn and empty. She could have searched the fields, but she would have come home weak and hungry. What she needed was in that barrel. So if you know what you need is right there, and you know what you need is not out there, why in the world would you go over here and look for what you need? If that isn't insanity, I don't know what is. But that's how many live. And it's sad. It's so sad. But everything she needed was in that barrel and in that jar. And that was so every single day. And this is now her reality. She found in that barrel of meal and that jar of oil that which would satisfy her. That which would satisfy her son. That which would satisfy Elijah. Nowhere in the account does she think, you know, maybe there's something better outside. God's people get to thinking that way. I've always received what I need in Jesus Christ, but you know what? Maybe there's something better out there. Don't be foolish. Outside was disappointment and dissatisfaction. And if you are looking for what you need outside of Jesus Christ, you're going to be disappointed. And you are going to live life dissatisfied. But when she wanted that which would satisfy and strengthen, encourage, and rejuvenate her, she'd go to that barrel. She'd go to that jar. Provided contentment. I believe this woman was very content after Elijah had arrived. She lived her life in the contentment of her new reality. Do you think she ever went to that barrel and came away disappointed? I don't think so. Do you think she ever went to that little jar and poured out the oil and said, was that it? She never went away from that barrel, never went away from that little jar, disappointed. That's her reality. That's now her reality. That needs to be her reality. The Lord has never disappointed me. Never. The world has disappointed me over and over and over and over again. So why in the world would I go out into the world to seek that which would satisfy? We're slow learners sometimes. If she was hungry, she needed to go to that barrel. It wasn't enough to know about the barrel. She had to go to it. And it's not enough to know about Jesus Christ. You have to come to Him. It's not enough to sit in a corner and look at the barrel from a distance and think about it. And you talk to many and you say, you know what you need is in Christ. Well, I've been thinking about that. Well, that's foolish. There's nothing to think about. All fullness is in Christ. Go to the barrel. Go to the barrel. That was her reality. The widow woman and her son and Elijah could eat all till they were full. I believe that. I don't believe they ever went away hungry. And the barrel of meal and the jar of oil would be no less full. Of His fullness have we all received. John chapter 1, verse 14. And yet, He's no less full. He's no less full. That's miraculous. Again, I don't know how many days she went to that barrel of meal. how many days she poured oil out of that jar. But we read in verse 15 that she and he and her house did eat many days. They did eat many days. Every time she went there, there was fresh supply. And so it is. Every time we go to Jesus Christ, there is fresh supply. Every time we open this book, there's fresh supply. I give you a challenge. You pick one verse of Scripture. You read that same verse every day for a week. I mean, read it. Really look at it. And I guarantee you there'll be fresh supply every single day. It doesn't get stale. That was her reality that she now lives in. They went to that barrel of meal and jar after a while. Again, I imagine the first few times they didn't know quite what to expect. Will it be there? Will there be enough? And we took all of it yesterday. But after going day after day, reaching down into that barrel and coming up with a meal, and taking that little jar and pouring the oil, after doing that every day, I believe there came a point when they went to that barrel and they went to that jar with great expectation. And that should be our reality. We should go to Christ with great expectation. We should go to that little jar with great expectation. Great assurance. After a while, they just knew. They couldn't explain it, but they just knew that there'd be meal in that barrel and there'd be oil in that jar. And I cannot explain God to you, but every day, you can be assured that He has everything you need. So we read, and through it all, God's word proved to be true. And the barrel of meal, verse 16, wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Every day of my life, God's word is proven to be true. Every day. God said it, it's so. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to explain it. It's so. It's true. There's the reality of an evil and wicked world, a famine-stricken world. That's all very real. We're not questioning the reality of those things. We mentioned this morning there is perceived reality. To the person who perceives it, it's real to them, though it may not be real at all. But that's reality. But none of that undoes or overturns the reality of God. And that's the reality that is to define our life. So again, we must ask ourselves, which reality do I live in? Which reality impacts my life? Because you know what? As God's people, we don't have to live lives of disappointment. We don't have to live life like the rest of the world lives life. We don't have to live in the shackles of famine, because God has something greater for you and I. And it's all due to His grace. Whatever your condition, whatever your circumstance, you will not find out there what you need. You'll find it in the Lord. Well, I tried that once. It didn't work. You didn't do it right. You didn't do it long enough. Out there is emptiness. Out there is barrenness and dust and death. But there is a God. There is a God that knows you. That knows your circumstances. That knows your every care. Your every burden. Your every difficulty. He knows your every problem. Every trial. Every temptation. Every battle. Every struggle. And we all have battles. And we all have struggles. Don't ever get to thinking that you're the only one with a struggle. Everyone struggles. As long as we have this flesh, there's going to be struggle. He knows our every obstacle. He knows our every doubt. And we all have doubts. None of us have perfect faith. He knows our every sin. He knows our every weakness. He knows our present condition. He knows our present need, and He has what we need. And He has something more for you and I than this world. Before the widow woman, her son, and Elijah could experience what was in that barrel and jar, they had to draw near. They had to go to that barrel. And so it is with you and I. We have to draw near to God, receive from Him, and all that would be our reality. That would be our reality. That would be the reality that shapes and defines our life. Horrible things can happen in the world, real things, but it's not what is to define us. It's not what defines us as a person. It is God that is to define who we are, what we do, what we become. So again, we must ask. Again, we're not questioning your reality. But the question is, what reality do you live in? What reality defines and shapes your life? Aren't you glad tonight that God has something better in this life? I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about in this life. God has something better for you and I. Yes, He has something better in heaven. We all know that. But He has something better for you and I in this life. Better than what the world has. And we need to live in that reality. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.